I love that song, "Oh Howl of Jesus." And tonight we're going to go to Psalm 119. We're going to continue in our series through this great psalm of the Word of God. And tonight the question is, do you really love God's Word? Do you really love God's Word? We're going to look at the mem stanza in verse 97 through 104. But before we read this passage, I want to ask, how many of you have a Bible tonight? I'm not talking about a digital Bible, but an actual Bible. Raise your hand. Okay, most everyone does. Most everyone. All right. How many of you have an actual Bible at home? How many of you have multiple Bibles at home? How many of you in the home you grew up in had a Bible? How many of you know if your grandparents had a Bible in their home? You know, isn't it amazing? It's interesting that we are so blessed that we have multiple copies of the Word of God. You know, there are some places in the world, some countries, where people do not have a copy of God's Word. As Americans, we are blessed. And not only because we have a Bible in our possession, but we have tools that are available to study the Bible like never before. If you have a tablet or a smartphone, you can access the Bible. You can access study tools. You can access the Word of God virtually anytime through a smartphone. And I believe that we have so much knowledge of the Bible, but the question is, do we really love the Bible? Do we really love the Bible? Or are we just the casual friend of the Bible? I wonder if we were to look at our time, you know, our smartphones are smart. They can record how much time, how much screen time you spend every day, every week, and it can give you reports and tell you where your screen time was spent, whether it was social media, internet, or Kindle, or whatever. And I wonder how much time that we actually spend in the Word of God compares with how much time we spend on our phones or on TV or listening to podcasts or even reading other books. And I'm not against any of those things, but I'm just saying, just in comparison, I wonder where it would stand. You know, the Bible is unlike any other book. I think most of us know that. It's a supernatural book. It's an eternal book. Last week we looked at it, that it's a book that's settled in heaven forever. And so it's unlike any other book. But I want you to think about this thought. The only way we can really gain an understanding of the Bible is to know the author. It's the only book like that. I mean, you can read any other book without knowing the author, and you can understand it and get something. But the Bible is a spiritual book. It's a spiritual book. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." And the Bible also tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And so the Bible is the only book that you must know the author to get a real understanding of what it's about. And that's what makes it distinct and unique. And the only way we can develop a true love for the Word of God is through a relationship with God. And we sang that song just a moment ago, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And I don't know if you've ever meditated on those words, but the word "how," it's an exclamation. It's not a question. You know, most of the time when we use "how," we're asking a question. But in that particular song, it's an exclamation. It's saying, oh, how, in sign language, you'd go like this. How? I love Jesus. I mean, it's like there's no word that you can describe and measure that love. The only way you can express it is just to say, oh, how I love Jesus. And that's how this stanza begins in verse 97. So let's read this stanza, verse 97 through 104. And listen to what David says about his love and devotion for the Word of God. He said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that you've given to us, the Bible. We have in our hands your precious word that's eternal, that's living. It's a spiritual book. And it's the means through which we develop our relationship with you. It's the means by which we can grow in our love for you. I'm so thankful for the Word of God and all that it does for us and all that it means to us as believers. And my heart, it breaks for people that do not have the Bible, do not know the Bible, do not know you. God, I pray that you would help us, that we would share that love with others, that we would share the Bible with others, that we would repeat the truths that you teach us to others. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all know that David is a man after God's own heart. You know, that phrase alone speaks of a man who loved God. He deeply loved God. And he's unashamed to talk about what he loves, to tell us what he thinks about throughout the day and what he keeps close to his side at all times. And that's what he's doing here in this stanza, this mem stanza. He's singing about his love, his devotion to the Word of God. And remember, as we started this study, that really whatever you say about God can be said about his Word, and vice versa. Remember last week we were talking about God is trustworthy. And the reason why he's trustworthy is because his Word is trustworthy. We can trust his Word. And so when David talks about his love for the Word of God, we could also say that it's his love for God. It's the same, one and the same. And as I was reading through this and meditating on these verses, I was noticing the pronouns that's used of God. And I circled all of them in these eight verses, and I found 10 of them. And for example, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. So whose law is he talking about? Whose word is he talking about? He's talking about God. And he said, thou, verse 98, through thy commandments. You'll see in verse 99, thy testimonies, verse 100, thy precepts, verse 101, thy word, verse 102, thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Verse 104, through thy precepts. So it's all about God. His relationship with, he's singing, he's not singing to the Bible, he's singing to God and telling God how much he loves him and how much his word means to him. And so don't miss that, that his outpouring here of his love for the word of God is his outpouring of love for God himself. And what's interesting about this section is that there is no petition to be found in this section. In other words, there's no prayer asking God for something. There's no lamentation in this section where he's maybe complaining about some distress or trial in his life. It's just an outpouring of his love and devotion for God's word. And David, I want you to understand, he's not making a sentimental statement about how much he enjoys the Bible or how he's fascinated with the Bible. Though those things could be true, but he's making a statement about his commitment and his devotion to what God has said in his word. Because I'm sure most of you understand that true love is more than an emotion. It's more than a fascination with someone. It's more than just enjoying someone's company. Love, true love, is a commitment to someone. It's a devotion to someone. You think about marriage, for example. For marriage to work, there has to be commitment. There has to be devotion to one another. And so here's David is expressing his love for the Word of God. He is expressing his commitment and his devotion to the Word of God. And he begins it with this exclamation, "Oh, how I love thy law." And you'll notice the exclamation point. He is making a statement of expression here of his love for the Word of God. He is expressing to God in words that he really had no words to express other than just to say, "How I love thy word." You know, this adverb, "how," it's describing his immeasurable love for the word of God, because he could not measure how much he loved God. It's so much that he couldn't express it. He couldn't put it in words. All he could just say is, "Oh, how I love thy law." And to support that, I want you to notice what he added to that exclamation. "It is my meditation all the day." It is my meditation all the day. His love for God's word was, as I said, it's more than just a temporary fascination with the Bible. It was a true love because it consumed his thoughts. You know, when you love someone, they consume your thoughts. You think about them. All through the day, he would ponder on the Word of God. He would reflect upon the Word of God at every opportunity that he had. When he says all the day, I don't think he means that he doesn't do anything else but sit and meditate on the Word of God. I don't believe that at all, because we know David's life. We know David was a shepherd. We know he was a king, and he had things to do. But what he's saying is that it was always in his thoughts. It was always something that he was reflecting on. It was always something that he was pouring over in his mind and his heart. It's something that consumed him. His meditation in the Word, it would direct his prayers in the morning. It would direct his decisions throughout the day. It would direct his thoughts and his actions. It was a part of his life because he loved it so much. You know, meditation, I don't know if you remember, but it's when the Word of God goes from your mind to your heart. When you take and read the Bible, you're putting it into your mind. And even when your working on memorizing the Bible, you're putting it in your mind, but when you meditate on it and you're poring over it and you're thinking about it and you're praying through it, it moves from your mind to your heart. You go from having a knowledge of the Word to a love for the Word. And so he said that it was his meditation all the day, and that was the expression of his love for the Word of God. It's something that consumed his time and his thoughts. Then when we come to the next three verses, it may seem a little egotistical of David to say that he was wiser than his enemies, or that he had more understanding than all of his teachers, or that he understood more than the ancients. The ancients would be the older generation, those that had life experience, that lived many years. But that's not his point that he's making in these verses. It's not about David when he makes these statements. It's not about him being better than his enemies. It's not about him being better than his teachers or the ancients. It's not that at all. That's not his point. His point is that he's extolling the Word of God. He's showing how that a true love for God's Word has advantages. When you love the Word of God and you meditate in the Word of God, it's going to change you. God's going to teach you wisdom that you cannot obtain anywhere else. I want you to think about that. You could learn things that I could never teach you if you just have a walk with God and meditate in His Word. God can teach you things that I can't teach you. The wisest preacher couldn't teach you. The wisest teacher couldn't teach you. The best Bible teacher couldn't teach you. They may be teaching wisdom. They may be teaching some powerful truths of the Word of God. But only as you walk with God and know God and have a relationship with God and meditate in His Word and love God that He teaches you personally. And that's what's taking place here. You know, you can't learn this from the best seminaries. You can't learn this from the best Bible teachers, the most experienced saints in the church. You can only learn this wisdom from God Himself. I want you to notice what He said at the end of verse 102. He said, "For Thou hast taught me." For Thou hast taught me. That's what made Him wise. That's what gave Him more understanding than His enemies. It was because God taught Him. When he was meditating on the Word of God, when he was spending time in the Word of God, in his intimacy with God, that's when God was teaching David. He didn't learn this on his own. God opened up his understanding. And I want to say tonight that there's no greater teacher than God Himself. And this does not mean that God does not use teachers or preachers, because He does. He ordains it. He has gifted churches with pastors and teachers and evangelists. I mean, he's given that as a gift to the church. But my point is that godly wisdom is something we must learn from God. We must have a relationship with Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So you can sit in a service and you can hear preaching from the wisest preacher, Bible teacher, but if the Spirit of God does not open your understanding, you're not going to get it. If the Spirit of God does not teach you, you're not going to understand it. You have to have that relationship with God. And so I want you to notice three reasons why David mentions that he had more understanding, that he was wiser than his enemies, that he could understand more than ancients. There are three things. Because at the end of each of those three verses, he explains why. Let's look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies. For, that for is giving the reason why. For they are ever with me. Now, he's not talking about his enemies. He's talking about thy commandments. That's the main noun in this sentence, is thy commandments are ever with me. So what made him wiser? Well, God, through his commandments, had made him wiser. Because God's commandments were close by his side at all times. He said that they are ever with me. You know, I think about the verse in Joshua 1:8. It begins like this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That's how it begins. I'm not going to take the time to go through the whole verse, but I think most of you know that verse. He goes on talking about meditating in his law day and night to make our way prosperous and so on. But that first portion where he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, what it means is that it shall not be removed or expelled from your life or from your mouth, from your speech and from your talk. And in other words, it should stay close to you. It should always be on your lips. It should always be in your heart and your mind. It should always be with you. The Word of God should always be with you. That's what David's saying. For they are ever with me. He's talking about the Word of God is ever with me. Why? Because it was his meditation all the day. It was something that he kept close at his side. The Word of God. He held the Word of God close at all times. And that's why he was wiser than his enemies. It was through God's Word. God, through his Word, gave David that wisdom because he kept it close by. And so we should love the Word of God so much that we keep it close by, that we keep it near, that we have it upon our minds, we have it upon our lips, we have it upon our hearts at all times. And when we face a situation in life, you know what should happen when we face a situation in life? A verse from the Bible should come to mind. That's how God wants to work in our lives. A verse in the Bible should come to mind. When we face a situation, when we face a temptation, a verse in the Bible should come to mind. And that's not going to happen if we don't love the Word of God. If we don't meditate in the Word of God, if we don't spend time in the Word of God, we're not going to have that wisdom to face life. We're not going to have that wisdom to overcome temptation if we don't keep it close by at all times. The next verse, he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For, notice that word for again, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So again, he talks about meditation, and he's emphasizing that he had more understanding than all of his teachers because he meditated in the Word of God. You know, teachers can study and they can compile notes, endless pages of information and knowledge, and yet have little understanding of God. You know, there are people that, theologians, that write books that don't know much about God. There are theologians that don't know God. We call them liberal theologians. They do not believe in the inspiration of the Scripture, and they don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe in the virgin birth. But they write about it. They study the Bible. They write books about it. Volume after volume after volume. But they have little understanding because they don't know the author. David knew the author. And David spent time in the book, meditating on the words. And because of that, God gave him more wisdom than all of his teachers. And then the next verse, he says in verse 100, I understand more than the ancient, because I keep thy precepts. Because I keep thy precepts. You know, this is quite a statement for him to say he had more understanding than the ancients. They're talking about people that have had lots of life experience. And again, I want you to... David's not making a prideful, egotistical statement here. He is speaking about the Word of God. He's speaking about how the Word of God has made him what he is. And so here, he talks about obedience to the Word of God. I keep thy precepts. His obedience to the Word of God is what given him more understanding than the ancients. And I want you to say, just because you have life experience don't mean you have wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. You may have general wisdom, worldly wisdom, but think about it. Unless you apply the Word of God to your life, unless you fear God, unless you walk with God, unless you love God, you don't have wisdom. I taught the young people on Sunday about wisdom, the value of wisdom from Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 3. And wisdom comes from God. It comes through a relationship with God. That was our main focus, that it's through relationships that God gives us wisdom. Primarily our relationship with Him. But it's also through our relationship with our parents and right kinds of friends. We get wisdom in those through relationships. But here David, he is talking about how that because he applied the Word of God to his life, because he kept it, because he obeyed the Word, that he had more understanding. Let me give you a verse in John 7. Verse 17, John 7, verse 17, this is what Jesus said. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So I want you to notice, if any man shall do his will, he shall know the doctrine. It's by doing and practicing that we come to know. We come to know God. We come to know His wisdom. It's not by just reading the Bible. It's not just by studying the Bible. But it's by applying the Bible. By obeying the Bible. And if we love the Bible, we're going to obey the Bible. You can't claim that you love the Bible if you don't obey it. Now, as we come to verse 101, he's expounding further on his love for God in his Word. He talks about how because of his love for God in his Word, he said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy Word. So the whole reason why he refrained his feet, he avoided every evil way in his life, was because he wanted to keep God's Word. It was his love for God. It was his love for the Word of God that motivated him to avoid every evil way. It was through the Word of God that he had wisdom to know evil way from a good way. You know, a lot of people just have no discernment. They walk down the evil way, not knowing where it's going to lead and what it's going to do to their life and their testimony. But David, because of his love for God and his love for his Word and his desire to keep the Word of God, he avoided every evil way. He refrained his feet from every evil way. And his love for the Word of God, it not only kept him from every evil way, but notice in the next verse, it kept him on God's path. He said, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. You know, those two verses, 101 and 102, really go together, because if you don't depart from the evil way, then you're departing from his way. You're departing from his judgments. And so it's a love for the Word of God that will make us wiser than our enemies, that help us to have discernment to know what's an evil way and what's God's way. And then we come to verse 103. 103 is two exclamations. Here's two more exclamatory statements where David says something about the Word of God. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Notice that's an exclamation mark at the end. And so that word how is just like the one in verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It's a description of how much he loved, or how sweet are the words of God to his taste. He says, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, for a lot of people, the Word of God, it's not sweet. How many times have you shared the Word of God with someone and they're like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear anymore. Or they get mad. How many times have we quit our Bible reading because it's tasteless? It's not sweet. It all comes down to our relationship with the Lord. If we love the Lord, then his word, even though it may rebuke our sin, we may get up in the morning, read a verse, and God rebukes a sin in our life. It's going to be sweet. Even though it may hurt at first, even though it may wound our pride, in the end, we're going to say, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Your word is sweet. Your words are sweet. I believe when we love the Word of God, it will not be bitter to our taste. It won't be like a lemon. He said it'll be sweeter than honey to my mouth. It won't be tasteless like plain shredded wheat cereal. Some of you ancients, you know what I'm talking about. Trying to get some fiber in your diet. It's not as good as frosted mini wheats. The Word of God is, David is saying, it's a delectable delight to our souls. When we love it, it's something that brings us joy. It's something that brings us satisfaction, something that brings us pleasure. I hope the Word of God does that for you. Amen. Last night, before bed, Jay and I, we were sitting on the couch. She was watching Shrek. She wanted to watch Shrek before going to bed. And so my wife had some angel food cake, some strawberries, and some whipped cream. So I went to the kitchen and got both of us a plate. Went back in there and sat down. I mean, her eyes got this big. And she said, thank you, Papa. And she licked up every bite of that because it was sweet. And I could tell she was enjoying it. She enjoyed it. It brought her great satisfaction. Every bite was sweet. And that's what David is saying about the Word of God. He's saying, God, your Word is it's sweet unto my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. It's almost like he's saying, you know, the best prepared, most delicious meal doesn't compare to the feast I get when I go to the Word of God. Then he comes to this last stanza. I think it's almost like a summary of the whole stanza because he says, through thy precepts I get understanding. That's the whole point he's been making, that God gives him this understanding because of his relationship that he had with God, because of his meditation in the Word, because they were ever with him. He kept God's Word near to him at all times. He kept God's precepts. Because of that, he got understanding. And so it's almost like he's summarizing that this understanding that he has is because of his love for the Word of God, his relationship with God. God has given him this understanding through his Word. And he says, therefore, I hate every false way. Isn't this interesting that he starts with love and he ends with hate? Oh, how love I thy law. And then he ends, therefore I hate every false way. Don't try to soften this. Because to love God is to hate everything that is contrary to God. Amen. To love the Word of God is to hate all that contradicts or undermines or misrepresents the Word of God. If you love flowers, ladies, and you can't wait for spring, which is it's here, but we're still waiting to get the flowers. My wife's still in that waiting period. She's can't wait. She says she's going to get a few before Easter, but it's coming. But if you love flowers, you hate weeds. You can't love flowers and love weeds because they're enemies. If you love God's Word, you can't love error and false doctrine and teaching that damns people. David does not say that he hates every false person. There would be no one left to love if that was true. But he hates every false way. That's an important distinction that we make, because when we see people on evil way, don't direct the hatred toward the person that God made in their image, in his image, and that God loves and God redeemed with his Son and wants to draw them to himself. Don't hate them. Hate the way that they're on. Every thought, every movement, every ideology today that does not conform to the Word of God, it should be hated. It should be avoided. It should be shunned. It should be turned away from. It's sad that the devil, who is our enemy, is getting our young people through false ideologies, false theologies, false worldviews. There's so much today that it's sickening of what's being taught to young people. We should hate it. We should do everything we can to change it. You know, we should stand up as Christians. We should fight for our kids. We should teach them God's word, his truth. As we wrap this up, to profess love for God is, and his word is one thing, but to actually love him is different. To love him is to be committed to him, to be devoted to him, to be dedicated to him. And David expresses that in this psalm. He expresses how that looks like, what it looks like in the life of a person who loves the word of God. I don't know about you, when I look at this, I'm like, Lord, I need to grow in my life for your word. I don't think any of us have arrived. I don't think I can honestly say that it's my meditation all the day. I meditate in it. But I can't honestly say I do it all the day. I can't. I'm growing. But I'm thankful for this because it challenges me. It causes me to examine my heart and my dedication to God, my commitment to God, my love for God, my love for his word. And so we need to ask ourselves, does our lives reveal dedication to God? What consumes our time, our thoughts, our actions, our desires? And I say again that to love his word is more than a fascination with his word. It's more than just an enjoyment of his word. There is enjoyment. I mean, I think of 103, how sweet are thy words to my taste. There is enjoyment. But it's more than enjoyment. We should obey it. Seek to understand it, know it, meditate on it. We should seek to avoid every false way. We should hate every false way. You know, I think when we take an honest look at our love for God and his word, it can challenge us to draw close to it. That's what it's all about. It's not to make us feel like, well, we just can't measure up. It's to challenge us to draw near to God. It's to challenge us to step up in our walk with God. It's to challenge us to more commitment to God, more time with God, more time in his word, more meditation in his word, to keep his word near to us, to keep him every with us at all times. I want to close with verse 97 again, and then we're going to pray. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Father, I thank you for this challenge tonight to examine our hearts, to look at our lives, to see whether our lives reveal a love for your word, a love for you, a commitment to you. Lord, just like in marriage, after the honeymoon's over, sometimes the commitment can wane, the devotion can wane in our marriage and our love to one another. And the same is true in our walk with you. There are times that our love can wane, that our commitment can wane. We need to be quickened by your word. We need to be renewed in our love for you. We need to be challenged by someone who is a man after God's own heart. Thank you, Lord, for David writing this wonderful passage, expressing his love and devotion to your word, to challenge us and in our day and time. Lord, help us to love it so much that consumes our hearts, changes our lives, and then others around us can see the love of Jesus in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.